educating the masses with God's Word, Truth, and Facts. Wade Through the Swamp with Rick on For God and Country. First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibit the free exercise thereof, or abridge the freedom of speech or press, or the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Hey folks, how we doing? Rick again with Forgotten Country. Back here with another news segment. Sorry I took a couple days off, but needed some vacation time, so I'm sure you can handle it. Anyways, so today, what do we have? Today, it looks like the Congress has received the declassified UFO information from Ratcliffe. Looks like we have an article in the Examiner today, well, a couple days ago, yesterday. Looks like by Jerry Dunleavy, the Justice Department reporter. Looks like we have UFOs display tech U.S. doesn't have and can't defend against ex-intelligence, Ratcliffe says. I have seen the report. I've read over the entire report. It's hard to understand, but if you shoot me an email, I can send it to you. RICKYLAWSON0814@gmail.com. That's RickyLawson0814@gmail.com. Shoot me some show ideas or criticisms or whatever you feel. Heck, if you want to complain, complain. I'm down. I can listen. I'm a big boy. I can take it. But shoot me any emails if you'd like. Anyway, so the story looks like UFOs exist that appear to display technology the United States does not possess and has and lacks the ability to defend against, according to former DNI intelligence chief Ratcliffe, John Ratcliffe, who served as President Donald Trump's final director of national intelligence and oversaw the nation's 18 spy agencies, made the observation while offering insight into declassified report on unidentified aerial phenomenon. I guess that's their way of being serious. It's like when you go to the doctor, they all have serious medication names and bone parts and that sort of thing. I guess that's their way. I don't want to call them UFOs because they might get made fun of. And who wants anybody to get made fun of? Anyways, the report was issued on Friday of last week. The Office of Director of National Intelligence. Looks like Ratcliffe was trying to get the information declassified quicker. But everybody knows it's one slow process to declassify anything. Listen, folks, I don't necessarily believe in aliens. I would say I believe in time travel before I'd believe in aliens, but that's just me. That being said, I'm not entirely convinced that it's not technology that one of our enemies might have, and maybe they're testing us. Maybe it's technology that we have, and we're slowly leaking it to the public. Kind of like the SR-71 Blackbird that was retired before anybody even knew it existed. Or stealth technology, which was long since had been used for 15 or 20 years before anybody knew it existed. The long-anticipated but very brief document discussed 144 reports of UFOs originating from the U.S. government sources between 2004 and 2021. 80 were observed with multiple different sensors. Most reports described the UFOs as objects that interrupted pre-planned military training or other military operations. The ODNI report said a handful of the UFOs appear to demonstrate advanced technologies. And in 18 of the incidents described of the 21 reports, observers reported unusual UAP movement patterns or flight characteristics. Part of the assessment also remains classified. That's why I believe 100% that it's just technology. It's our current technology. Nobody knows it exists. Some of it. I'm not saying all of it, but most of it. And given his first, given his first public reaction to the unclassified ODNI report since its release, Ratcliffe told Fox News host Dan Bongino, "Hey, Dan Bongino, I love that guy." For a Saturday night episode of Unfiltered with Dan Bongino, check it out. I think it's 10 o'clock on Fox News or on Fox Nation, whenever you want. He's got a podcast on Spotify and Pocket Cast and several other ones. You should check him out. He's damn good. He was the one that first broke the story, as far as I know. That guy knows what he's talking about. Check him out. The UFOs are a matter of national security and stress that the real number of UFOs that have been observed remains unknown to the public. That report started while I was in the DNI. Quote, "I was hoping to get it out, or some version of it out, before I left. Getting that information out to a declassified public level was difficult, but I'm actually glad there's a report out there," Ratcliffe said. "Look, the bottom line is unidentified aerial phenomenon. Many, many cases we were able to explain it away for reasons like visual disturbances or weather phenomenon, or foreign adversaries and their technologies, or even our known experimental technologies with certain aircraft and vehicles. But what this report really underscores is that there are a number of instances, and specific number remains classified, but a number of instances here we've ruled all that out." Ratcliffe added, "And there are technologies that we don't have, and frankly, that we're not capable of defending against. Based on those things that we've seen, multiple sensors, in other words, that were seen by multiple sensors. In other words, we're not just people visually see it, but where it's picked up on radar. A person who is informing policymakers about national security threats, it's not good to say, gosh, I don't have any good answers. And so we have to have a larger discussion and try to figure out what specifically this is all about." Couldn't agree more. The ODNI report, which is labeled as an unclassified preliminary assessment, came after the Defense Department announced in August it had approved the creation of an unidentified aerial phenomenon task force. The Senate Intelligence Committee wrote up a 180-day directive for such a disclosure that was included in the $2.3 trillion coronavirus relief bill. What in the hell does that have to do with coronavirus? Man, I swear the Democrats are just trying to get a wish list. It's anything and everything they want to push through. It's ridiculous. Sorry, guys. I got Fox News in the background. Looks like the California Dems have changed the election rules ahead of the vote. Gee, who thought? Who would have thought? Oh, man. I swear, you guys. Ridiculous. Some UAPs appear to remain stationary in winds aloft, move against the wind, maneuver abruptly, or move at considerable speed without discernible means of propulsion. In a small number of cases, military aircraft systems processed radio frequency energies associated with the UAP sightings. The UAPTF holds a small amount of data that appear to show UAPs demonstrating acceleration or a degree of signature management, the intelligence agency said on Friday. We're able to identify one reported UAP with high confidence, but others remain unexplained, the assessment also said. The ODNI declined to draw a firm conclusion on the UFOs themselves. There are probably multiple types of UAPs requiring different explanations based on the range of appearances and behaviors described in the available reporting. The intelligence community assessment contended, our analysis of the data supports the construct that if and when individual UAP incidents are resolved, they will fall into one of five potential categories: airborne clutter, natural or atmospheric phenomenon, U.S. government or U.S. industry development program, foreign adversary systems, and a catch-all or other bin. What in the hell would go in the other bin? That's ridiculous. Why would there be an other bin? I'm telling you folks, it's time travelers. It's us from the future trying to come back and trying to figure out how in the hell Joe Biden became president. The intelligence community warned that some UAP may be technologies deployed by China or Russia or another nation or non-government entity. And when discussing its other category, the ODNI stated, we would group such objects in this category pending scientific advances that allowed us to better understand them. The UAPTF intends to focus its additional analysis on the small number of cases where UAPs appeared to display unusual flight characteristics or signature management. You think? I would think that would be the first ones I would be going for. If you could fly at 17,000 miles per hour, that's definitely one we need to be checking into. Former Obama CIA Director John Brennan said on a podcast in December that some of the phenomenon we're going to be seeing continues to be unexplained and might, in fact, be some type of phenomenon that is a result of something we don't understand yet. And that would involve some type of activity that some might say constitutes a different form of life. My God, that guy. He even talks in riddles on his podcast. The possibility of UFOs being extraterrestrial origins was not mentioned in the ODNI report. Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, Republican who chaired the Senate Intelligence Committee when it requested the ODNI report on UFOs, said on Friday that the Defense Department and intelligence community have a lot of work to do before we can actually understand whether these aerial threats present a serious national security concern. Yeah, I would definitely say that they are a national security concern. Last year, videos from the Navy released throughout the Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA, that showed UFOs appearing to move at incredible speed and performing impressive aerial maneuvers. Since then, the Pentagon has confirmed the authenticity of the numerous other videos that it said it was investigating, though it had not drawn its conclusion about them. So do we have aliens or not? Excuse me. Ratcliffe has no idea. I'm sure he wants to know. I don't believe in aliens. I think it's probably Area 51 technology that's being tested. Nearly all the phenomenon end up happening around nuclear power plants or nuclear testing facilities. I would say that probably has something to do with it as well. Maybe it's I don't know, maybe it's energy being released. Maybe it's just testing. I mean, there's, if you could look into any of the conspiracy theories around the world, I mean, you got Project Blue Book, you got Project, that was aliens, you got Project Paperclip, that's where we brought scientists over from Germany and Russia to work on our nuclear capabilities. You got Project, oh shoot, what's the name of that project? Oh, Mockingbird. I think, no, Mockingbird is where they embedded the CIA into our news organizations in order to direct the news coverage in the direction the government wanted it to go, which I believe it's still continuing to go on. You had, oh man, I can't even think of it. It was a mind altering where they used acid to try to alter the memories of its people, and a lot of them didn't even know they were taking part in these experiments. So it could be, God only knows what it could be. But I bet we'll see those videos on Rumble as soon as they get released. Speaking of Rumble, who's on Rumble? Donald Trump joined Rumble. YouTube competitor on Rumble. Go check him out. Flight Tech Tyranny by Dan on Parler at Dan Bongino. I do like the sound of this one. So Parler was a social networking site that was shut down by Amazon, Apple, and Microsoft. They did a pretty good job of it too. Well, Google. I know they're back up. I haven't been able to get on. My phone, for whatever reason, won't let me connect to the site. Might be because of my VPN. Everybody needs a VPN. If you ain't got one yet, you need to get one. I use ExpressVPN. It's a daggum good price. Protects up to 5 devices. I love it. It tells me when there's untrustworthy sites. It blocks your IP address. It sends it through filters, so the big tech companies can't sell your information and see what you're looking at and see what your online searches consist of. It's good stuff. You should check it out. And they're not even a sponsor. If they wanted to sponsor me, I wouldn't mind, though. They can give me a discount on my subscription. But I use them. I've got it on all of my devices. All right. Former President Donald Trump joined the Rumble today, which is becoming YouTube's greatest competitor as the revolt for big tech censorship continues to grow. So, Rumble is a video site, kind of like YouTube, only better. Only they don't decide what what Americans get to see. They believe in free speech. They believe that a former president has every right in the world to express his opinions, his views. And most of them are very educated views. The man's a very smart man. And it turns out he's been right just about every time. So anyways, back to the story. Mr. Trump has verified he is on Rumble. So go check him out. As of writing on his account, as of writing his account, only has one video up, which has a placeholder for a live stream at his rally in Ohio today. That begins 7 p.m. Eastern. That was the other day. This report's a little behind, a little old. His channel can be found here. https://rumble.com/ Donald Trump. Should check him out. I'm sure his rally from the other day is posted up there. I haven't had a chance to check it out when he was having his rally. I was on vacation and I just took the weekend off. I went out of town, went and visited a haunted hotel, went and Watched the Passion of the Christ play in Arkansas, which was amazing. Got to see the larger statue of Jesus, and I want to say the upper northern hemisphere, but I could be wrong. I know it's the biggest one in the continental United States, so we'll just call it that for now, but it was pretty amazing. So YouTube has long faced allegations of deplatforming and demonetizing conservatives, and had a high profile battles with popular creators such as Steven Crowder, who they removed from their partner program. Most relevant, Donald Trump. Most relevant to Trump joining Rumble, YouTube banned him off their platform following a mostly peaceful protest on January 6th. YouTube says they'll lift the ban when the risk of violence decreases, which effectively means never, because there is no risk of violence to begin with. I couldn't agree more. YouTube has sent a clear message to conservatives that they don't want them on their platform. And who would want to give them money if they don't want to use us? Exactly. I couldn't agree more. I don't use them anymore. I quit using them even long before Rumble came out. I like them. Not everything that you want to... Not all YouTube videos have made it to Rumble yet, unfortunately. But hopefully, eventually, it'll pick up and we'll get some more videos on there. If I decide to do videos, then I will definitely use Rumble to broadcast my videos. But that all depends on you. You guys want to... If you guys want me to do videos, I'll do some videos. You just got to let me know. Emails RICKYLAWSON08. You just heard For God and Country with Rick Lawson. Stay tuned. More to come. What am I talking about? At gmail.com. Check it out. Send me an email. Rumble is growing out of an incredible rate as people begin to censorship. The platform had 1.6 million members at the third quarter of 2020, 31.9 million in the first quarter of 2021. What? Rumble is growing at an incredible rate as people flee big tech censorship. The platform had 1.6 million users. 1.6 million users at the end of the third quarter 2020 and 31.9 in the first quarter of 2021. Wow, that's a hell of an increase. That's a growth by 1,900%. They recently attracted PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel as an investor, which that's pretty awesome. Matt Palumbo is the author of Dumb and Dumber, How Cuomo and de Blasio Ruined New York, Debunk, Liberalize, and Spygate. Is also on Rumble. You should check him out. I know Denise D'Souza's on Rumble. I believe the great one, Mark Levin, is on Rumble as well, which you should check out his most recent book that's coming out. It's American Marxist. You should pre-order that sucker. And pre-order it on Amazon, as much as I hate Amazon, but I like buying stuff from them that I know hurts their bottom line. So if we're going to sell a book on from a conservative book writer, that's who you need to go through. Speaking of getting banned from platforms and big tech spits. How can you not talk about... What the heck? How can we not talk about Julian Assange? Remember him? Key witness in Assange case admits to lies in indictment. That ain't no good. Major witness in the United States Department of Justice case against Julian Assange admitted to fabricating key accusations in the indictment against the WikiLeaks founder. You know, I don't know exactly what Assange leaked to the public, but I would say as a member of the press, he should be allowed to release anything to the press. It shouldn't. He's a member of the press. If it's bad news, or if the government does something illegal, then the press are the people that shut him down. And I cannot understand for the life of me why it would be considered a crime. I personally think Mr. Trump should have pardoned both Assange and that old boy that used to work for the State Department, the one that proved that they were spying on us to begin with, which is beyond disgusting. A major witness in the case of the United States Department of Justice against Julian Assange has admitted to fabricating key accusations in the indictment against the WikiLeaks founder. The witness, who has documented history with sociopathy and received several convictions for sexual abuse of minors, a wide-ranging financial fraud, made the admission to the new in a newly published interview in Stunden, where he also confessed to having continued his crime spree while working with the Department of Justice and the FBI and receiving a promise of immunity from prosecution. Ooh. So let's see, he was involved with sexual abuse of minors, financial fraud, and was involved in these crimes while working with the FBI, who's promising him immunity from prosecution. See, I don't understand how the Department of Justice can be so dangerously weaponized. It's like the Department of Justice, their goal in life is to destroy conservatives. Their goal in life is to destroy Donald Trump and anyone who follows him, anyone who believed in him. And it's unacceptable. We can't have a Department of Justice, an FBI, a CIA, a DNI, any of them that will not prosecute criminals equally. If you've committed a crime, fine, but you don't go out and start investigations looking for criminals or looking for crimes on individuals. You're supposed to go out and look for criminals as you're investigating crimes. I don't understand. Why is that so hard to figure out? The man in question, Sigurdin SIT, I'll just call him SIT, Ingi Thordson, was recruited by U.S. authorities to build a case against Assange after misleading them to believe he was previously a close associate of his. In fact, he had volunteered on a limited basis to raise money for WikiLeaks in 2010, but was found to have used the opportunity to embezzle more than $50,000 from the organization. Julian Assange was visiting Thordson's home country of Iceland around this time to do his work, due to his work as with the Icelandic media and members of parliament in preparing the Icelandic Modern Media Initiative, press freedom project that produced parliamentary resolutions supporting whistleblowers and investigative journalism. I couldn't agree more. We should protect our whistleblowers if they're legitimate whistleblowers and not just fools with an agenda trying to shut down a political party. Whistleblower, somebody who has to have firsthand information of a crime first of all, not second, third, and fourth. It can't be their assumption that that's what the person meant. It has to be, this person did this or said that, and I heard it directly. And I can confirm that I heard it directly. That's what a whistleblower is. Not the yahoo that they use to impeach the president. And for those of you that don't know what an impeachment is strictly an indictment. It's just saying, we believe we have enough evidence to bring criminal charges against the president. And then the Senate does the trial. You know he was acquitted both times. You just heard For God and Country with Rick Lawson. Stay tuned, more to come. That meant they couldn't find any evidence to convict him on either of the crimes. Back to the piece. The United States is currently seeking Assange's extradition from the United Kingdom in order to try him for espionage relating to the release of leaked classified documents. If convicted, he could face up to 175 years in prison. The indictment has sparked fears for press freedoms in the United States and beyond, has prompted strong statement of support of Assange from Amnesty International, Reporters Without Borders, and the editorial staff of the Washington Post and many others. U.S. officials presented an updated version of an indictment against him to a magistrate in court in London last summer. The veracity of the information contained therein is now directly contradicted by the main witness whose testimony it's based on. So then they need to just drop the charges. I mean, that should be obvious, right? If you proved that, if the guy admitted to lying, the guy that the charges were about, or charges came from, then they should drop the charges and he should be acquitted. I'm sorry, did Hillary Clinton, what she did, was it a crime when she deleted 30,000 subpoenaed emails and used a private server to conduct State Department business? I'm pretty sure that was illegal. Why is she not wanted on international 175-year charges? She should be prosecuted and put in prison for the rest of her life over that. Pretty sure destruction of evidence in a federal case is a crime as well, isn't it? The court documents that refer to Mr. Thorensen simply as teenager, a reference to his youthful appearance rather than a true age of his 28 years, and Iceland as a NATO country, one, but make no real effort to hide his identity, the identity of either. To purport to show Assange instructed Thorensen to commit computer instructions or hacking in Iceland. The aim of this addition to the indictment was apparently to shore up and support the conspiracy charge against Assange in relation to his interactions with Chelsea Manning. Those occurred around the same time he resided in Iceland, and the authors of the indictment felt they could strengthen their case by alleging he was involved in illegal activity there as well. This activity was said to include attempts to back into the computers of members of parliament, record their conversations. In fact, Thorndonson now admits to Stunden that Assange never asked him to hack or access phone recordings of the MPs. His new claim is that he had in fact received some files from a third party who claimed to have recorded MPs and had offered to share them with Assange without having any idea what they actually contained. He claims he never checked the contents of the files, or even if they contained audio recordings, as a third-party source he suggested. He further admits the claim that Assange had instructed or asked him in order to find out if such recordings is false. Nonetheless, the tactics employed by the U.S. officials appear to have been successful and can be gleaned from a ruling of magistrate court judge Vanessa Barrister on January 4th of this year. Although she ruled against extradition, she did not purely She did so purely on humanitarian grounds, relating to Assange's health concerns, suicide risk, and conditions that he would face confinement in prison, in U.S. prisons. With regards to the actual accusations made in the indictment, Barrister sided with the arguments of the American legal team, including citing specific samples from Iceland, are now seriously called into question. I would say they should be. Other misleading elements can be found in the indictment and later reflected on the magistrate's judgment based on Thorndenson's now admitted lies. One is in reference to an Icelandic bank documents, and the magistrate court judgment reads, it's alleged Mr. Assange and teenager failed an attempt, a joint attempt to decrypt files stolen from NATO country one bank. Thorndenson admits to Stunden that this actually refers to a well-publicized event in which an encrypted file was leaked from an Icelandic bank and the Icelandic Landsbanki. The bank underwent in the fall of 2008, along with almost all other financial institutions in Iceland, plunged the country into severe economic crisis. The file was, at this time in the summer of 2010, shared by many online who attempted to decrypt for the public's interest, purpose revealing what precipitated the financial crisis. Nothing supports the claim that this file was even stolen per se, as it was assumed to have been distributed by whistleblowers from inside the failed bank. More deceptive language emerges of the aforementioned judgment, where it states he, Assange, used unauthorized access given to him by a source to access a government website of NATO country one used to track police vehicles. This depiction leaves out an important element, one that Thorndenson clarifies in an interview with Stunden. The login information was in fact his own and not obtained through nefarious means. In fact, he now admits he had been given this access as a matter of routine due to his work as a first responder while volunteering for search and rescue team. He also says Assange never asked him for such access. You know, I understand that classified information of a certain level needs to stay classified. And I don't believe that really any human being, just anybody, should have access to it. But I believe if the access finds proof of a crime, then it's their responsibility to drop it, to release it. I mean, that's all there is to it. You know, you can't, the governments of the world can't break the law and then try to say that, oh, well, it's a crime because the person who told on me broke the law for telling on me. I mean, come on, if you're breaking the law and you get caught, you get caught. Why don't you just own up to it and move on? Why are we going to sit here and try to criminalize people for releasing information that the people need? Speaking of big tech and information, got the story about Apple from Breitbart. Apple's daily shutdown. China compares Apple daily shutdown to big tech blocking of Parler. Yes, Parler was dropped by Apple and Google and Amazon when they shut down their web servers, which is beyond unacceptable. They're not supposed to be. They're not supposed to be publishers. That's why they have 230 protections by the federal government. Their 230 protections need to be dropped. They need to be eliminated. 230 basically states that since they're not. They're only sharing information that other people put out, so therefore they can't be sued if that information is incorrect. but then they're putting out their own lies continuously about the corona outbreak. They put down their lies about Trump continuously. They don't allow you to spread information. They don't allow you to share information that we know is true. We know it's just like with the origins of the China virus. Yeah, I said it, China virus. When it was first released, everybody knew it came from a lab. And you would get banned from Facebook and Instacrap and YouTube and all of that if you posted any of that. Because Trump said it. If Trump hadn't said it, it would have been all over the media. From the part, Breitbart, Chinese state media on Friday claimed that the destruction of pro-democracy newspapers Apple Daily in Hong Kong was no different than American tech companies colluding to shut down the social media platform Parler. It also compared the Apple Daily shutdown, preceded by hundreds of police officials raiding its offices, to the U.S. Federal Communications, the FCC, taking actions against media outlets that violate broadcast standards. You just heard For God and Country with Rick Lawson. Stay tuned. More to come. Oh, dear God. China State Xinhua, I can't pronounce it, Xinhua News Services rallied against the Western politicians for smearing China's demonstrating their hypocrisy and double standards and interfering in China's internal affairs by criticizing the crackdown on Apple Daily, raided by Hong Kong police last week and driven out of business. Beijing's puppet government in Hong Kong claimed Apple Daily violated the island's authoritarian national security law and colluded with foreign powers by quoting Western media sources and supporting human rights sanctions against the Chinese state. Xinhua claimed everything done to Apple Daily was in accordance with the law and no different than what the Western government does. Well, the Western government's wrong as well. I don't know who in the hell thinks he's trying to say that that was right. There's never been such a thing as absolute free press freedom. As a matter of fact, those in Western countries that are trying to discourage China have strict regulations on the production of news, as well as red lines on freedom of speech and press. Some are even intensifying their restrictions. And it's wrong. There should be a completely free press, no matter what. They shouldn't have the opportunity or the right to take away our right, our First Amendment rights. It's unacceptable. We will not tolerate it, and we will not have it. We're going to have some serious issues in this country if this crap continues. That's why we need to get Trump back in the White House. He's a firm believer in the First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, 14th Amendment. You know, the important ones. This bumbling buffoon in the White House that we have now, this idiot has no idea what he's talking about. He had never even read the Constitution, I guarantee it. In the United States, the FCC is responsible for managing the license and licensing media outlets and the content those media produce all across the country. In Germany, speeches like the Holocaust denial and other forms of incitement to hatred against segments of population are punishable by imprisonment of up to 5 years. In 2017, Germany passed the Network Informants Act, which requires internet platforms to take actions against hate, harassment, and terror propaganda. But who dictates what hate speech is? Who dictates what that propaganda is? In the United States right now, we got our federal government instigating hate and propaganda. Just because you don't agree with what somebody thinks, says, or does, it's not necessarily hate speech. Just like with this whole gay agenda, the trans LGBTQ1623 and every other letter and number they can put in front of it, which is beyond ridiculous. I call it hashtag look at me, because that's all it is. It's people that want attention. Just because they're... you don't like what somebody says doesn't make it hate speech. Hong Kong is not a lawless land, and press freedom should not be an excuse. No one who violates the law in Hong Kong will go unpunished, the Communist News Service vowed. And if they committed a crime, I would agree, but I don't see how a news report or a news service commits a crime by spreading the news. An editorial of China's state-run Global Times hit the same talking points, wondering how any American official could criticize the crackdown of Apple Daily after what Big Tech did to Upstart's media platform Parler in 2020. The government shouldn't have done that. That's unacceptable behavior. No Western country would allow the existence of such a hub that manipulates public opinion to counter constitutional systems in the country. Any media outlet that has gained inciting power to oppose the mainstream will not be spared. For example, after former President of the United States Donald Trump's Twitter account was permanently shut down, his supporters gathered at the Parler app, which was banned for good. We have to point out that Trump's account and Parler posed less of a constitutional challenge to the U.S. than what Apple Daily posed to Hong Kong's constitutional system. The former is a deviation, while the latter is a blatant confrontation. The silencing of Trump reflects the extent to which anti-establishment dissent truly tolerated in the United States. The Global Times further insisted the persecution of Apple Daily's owners, staff, and financial backers is no different than British police strengthening social media regulations after the London riots of 2011, or current concerns in the United States about the repeat of January 6th riot at the Capitol. Freedom of press is a good thing. The West's freedom of speech must be consistent with the national interest of public security. However, the Western countries demand for Apple Daily to have the freedom to jeopardize Hong Kong security and the national interest of China, of the Global Times insisted. The editorial concluded by pushing key Chinese Communist Party propaganda line that no other nation has the moral stature to criticize China for any human rights abuse, from forced labor to crushing freedom of speech and assembly. Western intervention in Apple Daily shutdown is pale and weak, and the intervention has also completely lost its moral force. It's manifestation of the hypocrisy of the West's value system, the Global Times asserted. The West is facing an increasing number of problems. They prioritize national interest at home, but demand so-called universal value be put above all outside their countries, such as increasing incoherence will tear their hypocritical morality, it predicted. So that'll be about it for us today. Follow us for more in the coming future. We're going to do some in-depth studies into the Second Amendment, into the First Amendment. We're going to talk about some Supreme Court wins regarding both. We might even go into a little bit about the Supreme Court, the history of the Supreme Court, the different judges, what they stood for, what they believed in. So keep your Spotify tuned to For God and Country, and check us out for more. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to For God and Country. Stay tuned, more to come.